I'm Brad Locke, and you are listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. These pretzels are making me thirsty. Pretty good one, wasn't it? Not as good as Kramer did it. We were just talking about Seinfeld out in the office. If you people listening are wondering if you clicked on the wrong podcast, no.
I was going to say, this doesn't really work as well because you're not an actor, but I mean, you kind of are.
I'm a local actor. It's definitely not professional. I wouldn't put that in front of my name. I haven't acted in anything in like over a year now, though. I've been getting the itch. So, you know, I need to just run some random lines to knock the rust off.
You ever heard of like a recovering journalist? You know, like people who kind of get burnt out.
And yes.
They, you know, go into like PR or whatever. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm a recovering journalist whatever.
Yeah.
You're a recovering actor right now.
I guess so. But once you're an actor, you're always an actor. Oh. I don't know. That's just made that up. Okay. Anyway, no pretzels in the studio today, but I do have water in case I get thirsty. Welcome in, Brad, here with Brendan. That's the other voice you hear. And, of course, Pod Gator, as always. He's hanging out, working the board. Going to talk high school sports for the next few minutes. Thanks for joining us. Just a reminder that you can find us every Wednesday in iTunes, Spotify, or any of your podcast apps. Also online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalsports. And thanks to our sponsor, Pizza Doctor. Find them at Midtown Point in Tupelo. Got the sausage today, and then we got the old chicken Alfredo. It might be my favorite.
I was going to say, you might need to tell people why we're a little thirsty in the office today, just to make sure the bills are getting paid.
This pizza is making me thirsty. That's why we're thirsty. Good stuff. Check them out, Pizza Doctor. We got the end of the football season upon us this week in Oxford, state championships. We're going to preview the games involving our area teams. And first, we're going to look back at last week real quick, who advanced. We got three teams that won last week in the North Finals. Biggersville in 1A, West Point in 5A, Starkville in 7A, Starkville beating Madison Central, West Point beating Clarksdale on the road, a game I was going to cover until I got the COVID. And that was my Thanksgiving gift.
I've done the whole COVID for Thanksgiving thing before, so my condolences.
Not fun. But I still had an appetite, so I got to eat good. I didn't know it was COVID till like the next day.
Yeah, of all the symptoms I've had with my two bouts with COVID, appetite was never part of
it. No, if it's not stomach flu, I'm still going to eat.
You definitely also dodged the whole like losing taste thing, which just sounds awful.
Yeah. This is my second time to have COVID, and I've never lost my sense of taste.
I guess technically it's your sense of smell, which would also affect your taste.
Some people might call me tasteless, but anyway. Okay. What was I doing? Biggersville, that's the game you were at, though.
Yes, it was.
Played Vardaman, beat him 41-21. I was really eager to see this matchup and how it would go down. And can't say I'm surprised because Biggersville is just that good, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean... I kind of feel like a lot of the games I've been to this year, I've just been kind of weird, and this was really no exception. I don't know, maybe high school football is just weird.
Well, it is, but yeah.
But it's not very often that you see a player have three interceptions in the first half and two defensive touchdowns.
Jathan Hatch.
Three interceptions in the first half, and then one of those he returned for a touchdown, and then he also had a fumble recovery that he returned for a touchdown.
And this is all in the first half.
Yes.
That's the thing about Biggersville, man. They will strike quickly, and you don't know where it's going to come from. Like the time I covered them against TCPS, they scored three quick touchdowns the first three times they touched the ball. That's what they do to teams, and they get them knocked back on their heels, and good luck making a comeback against them because that defense is obviously really good. I mean, I think between Hatch, Trey Gunn, and I think it's Brooke Seago. Those guys have combined for like 26, 27 interceptions, something ridiculous like that.
I think they have three guys with eight or more interceptions.
Yeah, they got three guys with eight or more.
It's some kind of crazy stat.
So it's almost like 25, 26 total, but just between those three guys. I mean, it's ridiculous. Hardeman, they were a good team. Got some really good players. But what are you going to do, man? The Biggersville is not a 1A team. They're in 1A. They're not a 1A team.
No. No, you can't. I mean, I've said this a few times throughout the year, but you can't just throw a guy like Jathan Hatch out there against 1A kids. I mean, right, like the idea of a Division I caliber football player being in 1A football in Mississippi is just kind of funny.
Yeah, and it happens, though. It happens a lot around. You know, we got so many small schools, even with all the consolidation over the years. Still got a lot of small schools like Biggersville and Velma Jackson, who they'll be playing this week, who just doesn't matter if they're 1A. They've got some dudes. And that's the first game of the championship week. It'll be Thursday at 4 o'clock at Ole Miss. Biggersville and Velma Jackson, let's take a look at it. We've talked about already, obviously, all the weapons they have at Biggersville, but Velma Jackson has no shortage of weapons either. The main one being running back Gavin Griffin. He was named Mr. Football in Class 1A this year. He has put up some big numbers, 1,780 yards and 32 touchdowns on the ground. You got a pretty good quarterback, too, Terrell Smith. He's thrown for almost 2,000 yards. 69 completions, 33 of them for touchdowns, almost half. It's just, that's stupid. And only three picks. And to me, that's the big matchup. Because Biggersville has not played a lot of good passing teams this year. Really, they only played two, really. Baldwin, which they shut down that pass game, held them to under 100 yards. But then Nettleton, a 3A team, threw for over 300 yards and handed Biggersville its only loss of the season. So if there's an apt comparison to be made between Velma Jackson and anybody else on Biggersville's schedule, I'd say that's probably the one, Nettleton. Of course, they had they've got the great dual quarterback, Braylon Williams, and a host of good receivers. So that, to me, could be end up being the big difference in the game is how well does Biggersville defend the passing game. I mean, and never mind having to deal with Griffin.
Yeah, no, we talk about Biggersville's offense and how good it is. Velma Jackson this year is outscoring teams 622-68. I mean, God. Both of those numbers are just obscene.
They're ridiculous.
Like, I don't know what – I'm not going to pretend like I know a ton about, who they've played down south, right?
The schedule, yeah. But Biggersville, Now Biggersville, you could say, well, they haven't played the toughest schedule. But then again, well, it may seem that way because they're so good.
Yeah.
I thought TCPS might give them a good game. Baldwin did give them a pretty good game earlier in the season.
And Baldwin's played some good teams.
Yeah. And then Vardaman, they got like I've said before, they got speed bagged there in the first half. That's the way it goes. But Velma Jackson, this could be one of those games that's like 50-48 or something. And they both have good defenses, but you feel like with all those playmakers on offense, if they start just busting big plays and trading blows like that, it could be that kind of day.
Yeah. I believe I was talking to James about this Monday or Tuesday, and mm-hmm. I think he said he was thinking it could be more of a defensive game. I'm like,
and it could be that
it
too.
It could be, yeah. Both of their defenses have been good this year, especially with all the turnovers.
So it could end up being 14-12. I just don't know if it's going to be anywhere in between. It's going to be like 14-12 or 50-48. I feel like I don't know. I mean, my prediction is actually somewhere in between, honestly. So
I'm leaning towards a shootout here.
Yeah, I kind of am too, but it should be a good one. That's all I know. And that's at 4 o'clock. And that'll be followed by the 5A game at 7:30, West Point and Laurel. West Point playing in the state title game for an eighth consecutive year. Just speaking of ridiculous accomplishments, they just find a way, man. This was a season they did not win the region, which is unusual because Clarksdale beat them in the regular season. They had to go back to Clarksdale last week, on the road, and pulled out that win. And 24-17, I think, was the final. Cannon Daniels had a couple of touchdown runs. Quinterian Tillman Evans had the go-ahead touchdown with about 6.5 minutes left. And that defense just stepped up and made some stops in the second half, which first time they played Clarksdale, they kind of got behind the eight ball there early. I think they fell behind 20-0 in that game, first time they played. So started much better this time, and now we'll face a Laurel team that is 8-6, but don't let that record deceive you. They have played one of the toughest schedules in the state. They played two teams that will be playing for state championships this week. Okay,
Now, is it as strong as West Point's schedule? Is the thing.
It's pretty darn strong, man.
That was a murderer's row of teams.
Yeah, yeah, it was. But you know, Laurel played West Jones and Oak Grove, I believe, two of their losses. So, yeah, 8-6, but with an asterisk because of the quality of competition. So, yeah, West Point's going to do its thing, going to run the ball a lot. They'll pass it on occasion. They tend to be try to be opportunistic with that, but you've got Daniels and Tillman Evans and Keamon Ewing in the backfield. That's pretty much all you need to do is run it. Laurel, they like to run it too, but they will have a little more balance in their offensive attack. They got a quarterback, Kobe Pierce, who's thrown for 1,500 yards and 9 touchdowns. He can run it as well. Got about 750 yards rushing. You got Braden Jordan, 1,800 yards and 21 touchdowns. So it's going to be one of those in the trenches type of games, which West Point is just fine with that. And they can defend the pass, by the way. You know, people, I mean, that defense can defend just about anything you throw at them. That's been their MO for the longest time. So West Point and Laurel in the 5A game on Thursday. Then on Saturday, got Starkville and Oak Grove. Oak Grove has kind of been the team to beat all year in the South. And of course, them and Brandon, and they had one heck of a shootout in the North Final. Oak Grove won that game. What was it, like 52-48 or something ridiculous like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it was just, I was following it on Twitter like, holy cow. So Starkville, I mean, last time I saw them, they got curb stomped by Tupelo, and I was like, this is not a state title team. They got whipped up front on both sides of the ball. But since then, they've shut out their first two playoff opponents and then beat Madison Central handily, 35-15. So I don't know which Starkville team is going to show up. But, you know, they've obviously got the talent from Trey Petty to Jace Stevenson to Braylon Burnside and a host of other players. Jamar McCarter on defense. I don't know. Oak Grove's going to be tough to deal with. They got an LSU commit in P.J. Woodland. Yeah, they got Anthony Maddox, a quarterback, committed to Texas A&M. So this is could also be kind of a shootout, I feel. Two dynamic offenses led by dynamic quarterbacks. So that's the Saturday game to wrap things up Saturday night at Ole Miss. We'll have full coverage. I'll be there Thursday with James to cover Biggersville, and then West Point and Brendan will handle Starkville on Saturday. So look for coverage on the Daily Journal and at djournal.com. Real quick, some coaching news before we get out of here. Charles Covington, the longtime Saltillo cross-country coach, has announced his retirement. Announced it yesterday, I believe it was. He started that program, built it from the ground up, had his first team in 1990, won his first state title in 1999 with the girls. And between the girls and the boys, he has led Saltillo to 27 cross-country state championships. So pretty impressive. Yeah, one of the greatest coaches around here last 30-plus years and one of the greatest cross-country programs in the state. And one of the most consistent there at Saltillo. So I've got a story on Coach Covington online and should be in Thursday's journal as well. Let's close it out with the Athletes of the Week. You can go vote in our Twitter poll for our male and female Athletes of the Week. The female nominees this week, Elena Ball of Pontotoc Basketball. I'm going to mess this up. I even texted the coach to make sure I don't mispronounce it. Arari Foote of Blue Mountain Basketball, and Madison Smith of Lafayette Basketball. Male athlete nominees, Braylon Burnside of Starkville Football, Stonka, as they call him, DJ Davis of Oxford Basketball, and Jathan Hatch of Biggersville Football. We listed his accomplishments a few minutes ago. So that's all the time we have. We'll be back next week to recap the football championships, probably talk some basketball at that point too, get back into that. Just a reminder, we come to you every Wednesday. Find us on iTunes or Spotify or online at preprally.djournal.com or on Twitter at djournalsports. Go there to vote for Athletes of the Week. I'm on Twitter at Brad Locke. Brendan's on there at bferrell727. Airplane. Okay. And that's it. So we'll see you next time. Thank you.